Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month we have something a little bit different. Inspired by my half-year roundup of my goals, I've asked 8 lesbic authors 6 questions and asked them to do a half-year roundup themselves. So the 8 authors in question are Eliza Lenski, Claire Ashton, Cheyenne Blue, Giselle Fox, Jay, Wendy Hudson, KJ and Lise Gold. So you're not going to want to miss that. So that interview with 8 authors is coming up shortly. But first, let's see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as finding out what's going on in the world of lesfic and what's going on in the world of me. First up, the Amazon charts. And topping the charts in the US as I record this on July the 19th is Nicole Pyland with her new book, A Shot at Gold. Now, this one is the unlikely story of archery and lesbian love. I know, full points for originality there, Nicole. So this one, A Shot of Gold, is book 2 in the sports series of books. And the first one was about volleyball and sports psychology. And apparently there's one more to come. So sports is your thing. Check these books out. A Shot at Gold features Elodie Brooker and Madison Fletcher. Solid names. One is an archery legend and the other is an archery prodigy looking for a mentor. So she's gonna go and see if Elodie Brooker can come out of her archery hibernation, and I guess there might be some love amongst the arrows. I like it. I like it a lot. Sports books actually are a theme this month, because also doing well in July is Melissa Therese with her new book, Playing for Her Heart. This one is a book about football, soccer if you're in the US, and it's an age gap romance featuring Dom Simmons, who's the younger player in the tale, who backs her car into divorced single mother Blair Harrington, and that's where the story really begins. Again, strong character nameage here, so well done Melissa, Dom and Blair. Blair sounds like, you know, she should have shoulder pads from an 80s business movie, doesn't she? Anyway, she's a 40-year-old businesswoman and Dom is a 28-year-old footy player, and they shouldn't work, but the women, I reckon, will and just might save each other. This one is the first in the Ashforth series, so if you liked it, and plenty do, look out for more in this series soon. Still doing well in the charts in the US and the UK are Eliza Lenski with her book The Woman in 3B. Now, I've read this one since we last spoke and I loved it. So if you haven't read it, run out and buy it. It's smart, sexy, and once you get over the description of how flight crews work, Eliza clearly did her research, you do sink into the story. It's a gorgeous and immersive romance. I have long been an admirer of Eliza Lenski's writing, and this one does not disappoint. And she tells you a little bit about writing it in the interview we have in the main section of the podcast, so stay tuned. Also still top 3 in the US is One Golden Summer by T.B. Markinson and myself, so we're pretty thrilled that this one is connecting with readers so much, so thank you so much if you have bought it and reviewed it especially. Yeah, this co-write we did is an easy breezy summer story about trust and two women looking for it in each other. Saffron is a movie star looking to get out of the movie business and wants a quiet life. She heads to Sandy Cove, where she meets Kirsty. There's 17 years between them, but that's nothing compared to meddling exes, pushy agents and careless best friends. There's a bit of an age gap theme going on this month as well, isn't there? So yeah, sports, movie stars, age gap. That's what lesbian romance is all about in July. Tamsin Muir's Gideon the Ninth is a perennial favourite in the lesfic charts, and honestly this one keeps popping back up and keeps going back up to number 1 and top 5, so, and it's got about a gazillion reviews. So if a fantasy novel with lesbian necromancers is your kind of thing, do check it out. I have no idea what that means, I'm going to be honest. What is a necromancer? I could have looked this up before I did the podcast, right? But I don't know. There's some kind of certain level of mystery in not knowing, I reckon. But the cover alone is enough to put me off because it's got like a skeleton and knives and swords and shit. But if fantasy is what you stir into your tea, take a look at this. Also still doing well in the UK charts is Claire Ashton's Finding Jessica Lambert, also an age gap romance with a movie star in London. It's got a slew of admirers and I do plan on reading this one soon. And number one in the UK is Small Pleasures by Claire Chambers, which has got a lovely cover, I must say. It's got like sort of oranges on the front. I don't know, it makes me think of oranges, not the only fruit, but who doesn't love an orange or a tangerine? But anyway, I'm not sure, I've got to be honest, I haven't read it, so I'm not sure if this has got lesbian characters in it or... It's one of those books that's from traditional publishers and the blurb is very vague. So whether it's got a central lesbian, bi or trans character, I don't know. Traditional publishers tend to just stick these books in lesbian fiction and lesbian romance, just if they've got like, you know, a tiny side character who happens to be gay. So that's not strictly the point of lesbian fiction or lesbian romance. It has to be a lead character, but who knows? This one might have a lead character. It's just the blurbs of vague, but lovely cover. And Claire Chambers is a well-loved author. So that's the chart roundup for July 2020. Happy July, and I hope yours is going well, wherever you are in the world. In the UK, the lockdown is easing and we're being allowed out to see family and friends, which is lovely. So I was able to go to my mum's for her birthday in July. But I know it's not the same around the world with many places still locked down, especially in the US. So I'm sending warm thoughts that the US administration takes its head out of its arse and does the right thing, but the signs aren't good, are they? Let's face it, there's always books to escape into though, so there's always a silver lining. As for me, my wife and I have been out for four meals now. We went to a couple of local restaurants, but we've also been out for my wife's birthday, which has happened in July. And then we went out this weekend for a belated celebration for a milestone I passed in lockdown, and the milestone was selling 100,000 books. Now, wow, it is pretty amazing, and it's taken me, you know, a good few years to do it, so, but it is still pretty amazing to pass the 100,000 books sold milestone, so thank you, thank you, thank you if you are one of the people who bought one of those books. I really do appreciate it, and you allow me the opportunity to do this career, my dream job, so thank you. To celebrate, we went out to a restaurant about sort of three tube stops away and we had a lovely brunch on a rooftop with champagne and seafood and pasta, delicious fresh pasta. In writing news, I've just finished the first draft of London Book 7, which is going to be called Hot London Nights. I know. This one was going to be released in September, but I've decided to push the release until January 2021. I came to that conclusion after doing my half-year goals roundup on my blog. Now, so far this year, I've launched two books, Before You Say I Do and One Golden Summer, and both have done very well. But launching a book takes energy, and it takes a lot of emotional energy, I'll be honest, and they kind of leave me, it's left me a bit drained doing two already this year. And so I just kind of reevaluated my goals. And one of my goals was to be kinder to myself. So I've decided to shift the release date for London Romance Book 7 to January. So it's only 4 months. Like at first I was thinking, wow, January is quite a way off. But actually from September to January, it's only 4 months. So I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm moving it. But I'm going to write it this year, and it's absolutely the right decision. I feel lighter having made it, so that's great. My aim is still to write four books, which was my goal at the beginning of the year, but I'm just not going to release four books this year, but I still be releasing three. So the next major release for me down the line will be my Christmas novel, which is due out in November. So once I've finished the second draft of London Romance, and that's off to the editor, which will be sort of... in August, I'll be jumping back on the Christmas book, and I've got a couple of months to sort that one out. It's half written, it's all plotted, so I am really looking forward to getting back to that one, because it's like one of those ones that I started early in the year and then I had to put it down to get One Golden Summer done and out, and you know, it's just sat in the back of my mind, all the plot points and the characters. So I know it's a strong idea because all those characters are still very vivid in my head. So I'm really looking forward to getting back and finishing that one and getting it out in November. Very exciting. In other news, though, I have put out a lockdown novella, which wasn't on my list of goals at the beginning of the year, but I decided I wanted to write something based around the lockdown. So it is a second chance lesbian romance. It's called Try Me Again, and I put it out this month. So if you're on my mailing list, you would have got it for free. It's not for sale, but you can still sign up now to my mailing list at clairelydon.co.uk. Sign up for you get your free lesbian romance, and once you get that, you'll also get an email from me saying, here's another one, so hurrah. It's going to be free to subscribers until the end of August, I think. So, yeah, do get on that. I also plan on releasing a new book, a compendium of my work, featuring my lockdown novella, a new short story, plus London Calling and All I Want for Christmas. So basically, this book is going to be a book of series starters and short stories. So I might not be releasing London Romance Book 7 in September, but I am still doing... I'm still doing stuff. I'm not just sitting idle. In lesfic event news, the South Coast Lesfic Hangout was meant to take place in May. It was then pushed to September, but it's now going to be a virtual event online, and that will be taking place on the weekend of August the 15th and 16th. It's a free event, and there will be a slew of lesfic authors and panels taking place. So do look that up. Just put South Coast Lesfic Hangout into Google and you should get some dates and times and all that. I know it's being organised right now. So by the time this comes out, it'll be the last podcast before it. So unfortunately, I'm not taking part because it clashes with my dad's birthday and family over. So I can't take part, but it's going to be a great event. So if you're into lesbian fiction, which you must be because you're listening to this, do head on over to the South Coast Lesfic Hangout for more. And I'll put a link in the show notes. That's it from me for this month. So let's get on with this month's main interview, which is where I asked 8 authors to answer the following questions. 2020 has been quite the year. What have you learned? How has your writing been going this year and what have you published? What can we expect from you in the rest of the year? What's your favourite lesbian book of the year so far? Travel's pretty limited right now, but if you could be anywhere, where would you choose? And what are your hopes for the rest of 2020? So here are 8 lesbian fiction authors answering those questions. Let's see what their answers are. I hope you enjoy.
Hey everybody, it's Eliza Lenski. I'm the author of various lesbian love stories. You may know me from the Winter Jacket series or the Don't Call Me Hero series. For the past 4 years, I've lived in Boston, Massachusetts, although I was born and raised in the upper Midwest, which is why so many of my stories take place there. I don't know if this is necessarily a fun fact about me, but I have a doctorate, my PhD, in American history, so I'm really intense about the research that goes into all of my books. The old adage is you write what you know, and I definitely do that, but I'm always expanding what I know in order to write more complicated and diverse characters and situations. 2020 has been quite a year. It's been quite a decade. So what have I learned so far? I think I've learned both good and bad, both hopeful and disappointing things. The main thing that I've learned in 2020, however, is that a lot of people are uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. And it's the reaction to that discomfort that's really telling. Some people's level of discomfort with racism, police brutality, a global pandemic has made them kinder, more patient, more altruistic. And others' discomfort has caused them to circle the wagons and lash out at others. Some people's disequilibrium has made them self-aware of their own privilege, while others, that's made them even more selfish than before. How has my writing year been going? What have I published? It's honestly been a really challenging time to write. I've been in a serious funk since 2016 for obvious reasons, but it turns out a global pandemic didn't make things any easier. And when Massachusetts first issued its stay-at-home order and I was going to be working from home, I thought, wow, I'm going to get so much fiction writing done. For those who don't know, writing fiction isn't my full-time job. That would be a dream, of course, but I also really like my day job of being a historian. And not to go on a full tangent, but I think being a public historian right now is an essential job, whether it be about the educating others on America's 400-year history of inequality and disenfranchisement, or our country's long history of police violence, or even the history of why Confederate statues exist and why it's time for them to go. But anyway, COVID hit the country and it hit my anxiety pretty hard too, and it was hard to get my brain into writing a love story when there was so much uncertainty happening outside of my house. But I chipped away at the book little by little and finally published The Woman in 3B at the end of May. I think it's a pretty fun, pretty cute love story, but like most everything I write, there's an undercurrent of social justice or discrimination that's revealed. And this book, probably more than anything else I've written, takes on a lot of isms and phobias, namely xenophobia and post 9/11 discrimination that those of Middle Eastern descent continue to face. What can you expect from me for the rest of the year? I'm continuing to promote my latest book. I will have an upcoming blog post at my website about the inspiration for the novel's title. The Woman in 3B comes from a lesbian pulp fiction novel called The Girls in 3B. So I want to talk a little bit about the roots of lesbian love stories in the post-World War II years. But the project that most people are looking forward to is probably the next Don't Call Me Hero book. The last book, book four in the series, ended on a bit of a cliffhanger, so I'm really looking forward to reacquainting folks with Julia and Cassidy. And on a similar note, Lori Prince is also finishing up her narration of the second audiobook in the Don't Call Me Hero series, so look for that to be available later this summer. What's my favorite Les Fic book of the year so far? Readers often ask me what I'm reading right now or who are my favorite lesfic authors, and I'm always a little ashamed to say that I don't have time to read fiction. My day job has me keeping up on the latest historical nonfiction, and that really leaves little time for me to do any reading for fun. Plus, I write my books in my spare time, so if I'm reading for fun, I'm delaying my next novel. But I will say that if someone's looking for a book to read right now, you might consider a nonfiction book about our current historical moment. I would highly recommend Ta-Nehisi Coates' Between the World and Me, Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow, and really anything by James Baldwin. Travel is pretty limited right now, but if I could be anywhere, where would I be? Honestly, I haven't left my house since the middle of March, except to go grocery shopping, so this question is kind of like candy to me. And I know I'm probably supposed to say that I'd rather be on a tropical beach, sipping a fruity cocktail, or maybe traveling the world, but in reality, I would love to just be in an isolated cabin in the Green Mountains in Vermont with my wife. We've been self-quarantining for months now, but I'd actually like to get away from even more people, become even more isolated, and just have a bonfire under the stars. That sounds pretty ideal to me right now. What are my hopes for the rest of 2020? Well, I hope I get that bonfire in Vermont, but on a more serious note, I sincerely hope that we don't get bored of the Black Lives Matter movement like America has gotten bored of coronavirus. I hope that we're able to use this momentum to make lasting change, and really the first change being who's living in the White House in November. I want to thank Claire, for the invite to share these thoughts, for giving me this opportunity. Stay safe, everybody. Keep supporting and holding each other up.
I'm Claire Ashton, and I write romances between women. My books have ranged from dark, suspenseful tales to uplifting rom-coms, but that rollercoaster romance is always there. I grew up in Wales, but now I live in the Midlands with my wife and two kids. And a random fact about me, I use my real name for my pen name, but most people don't know my real name in real life and use my nickname, which is Tig. On to the questions. 2020 has been quite a year. Blimey, it has, hasn't it? What have you learnt so far? Something trivial. Let's think. That I really like chocolate. I've always said that I could live without it. I could never understand people who said they were going to give up chocolate for a month and find it difficult. And I've always been much more partial to cake and pudding and biscuits by a long way. But this lockdown, I've bloody lived off the stuff. I hate to think how many kilos of chocolate I've eaten as comfort food. And wine. I'm not even going to think about the number of bottles I've glugged of that, but I've never been so foolish as to think about living without that. Question two. How's your writing year been going? What have you published? I finally got another book out this year. It's been a 2-year gap, and given all the turmoil this year and homeschooling the kids, it's a bit of a miracle I got that finished. It's a long romance. I always have a challenge for myself when I start a book, something new to try with my writing, and this time it was to go in deep with the characters and stay with them. It's about a young actress who's on the verge of burnout, and she's taken in by a beautiful, more mature woman. The two get to know each other in the sort of sanctuary of Anna's rooftop apartment, and it's a very sensual and tender romance, I think. I don't know, that's how it seemed to me, but sometimes you can't tell because you're too close to the story. But I've had a few people tell me now that it's my best work, so I'm really pleased with that. So that investment into the characters has paid off, I think. Question 3. What can we expect from you for the rest of the year? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm tired. Leave me be. Question 4. What's your favourite lesbian book of the year so far? It's an old one for me. One I hadn't read until this year. Strawberry Summer by Melissa Braden. It came out a few years ago, and it was about the same time as one of mine, Poppy Jenkins, and someone mentioned they were similar. In fact, they're not actually that similar beyond the small town setting and first love themes, but I've read every book of Melissa's apart from that one, and I adore them, so it put me off this one, because I'd just written a book that meant the world to me, being set back home in Mid Wales, and I didn't want to take the shine off it by reading a version Melissa had written that might be heaps better. So anyway, more than enough time's passed, so I finally jumped in, and I loved it. I got to the end and thought, that's what I've been looking for. That's the kind of romance novel I've been craving, and it's one of my favourite romance novels ever, I think. It's probably the most serious in tone of all her books, although it still has her trademark banter. But it has that complexity of characters and history of the two lovers that really gives a story depth. And I had a massive book hangover after that one. It was hard to follow that, and I've been a bit irritable with other reads this year because of it. But I am now well into The Confessions of Franny Langton, which is a historical murder mystery set in 19th century Jamaica and London. I never think that I like historical novels, but of course I adore Sarah Waters. This has the same appeal, I think. Sort of a gothic atmosphere with unflinching approach to historical detail, whether it's appealing or unappealing, and utterly intriguing characters at its heart. Question number 5. Travel's pretty limited now, but if you could be anywhere, where would you be? Cornwall, definitely Cornwall. I'm missing it like crazy. I should be paddling in the sea on a quiet beach in a small cove and mucking around with sandcastles with the kids right now. That's the highlight of the past few years, while the kids have been so little and just love the seaside, and I'm gutted we're not there. What are your hopes for the rest of 2020? Though we're all still here by the end of it, I think. Blimey, it is. 2020 is just way too screwy for listing my hopes and hoping to achieve any of them, I think. So I'm going to play this one by ear, I think.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne Blue, and I'm here thanks to the lovely Claire, who's inviting me along to talk about my 2020 so far. So, I write contemporary lesbian romance. I live in southeast Queensland in a regional town, and fun fact about me, probably that I'm licensed to handle venomous snakes in Queensland. I try not to do it terribly often, but I have done it and I will continue to do it, and I'll just say that snakes are lovely animals and not nearly as bad as people think. 2020, what have I learnt so far? I've learnt that I'm way more dependent on the contents of my refrigerator than I used to think. I've learnt that since I've been working at home. Proof of that is it's 9 in the morning and I've already eaten some of last night's cold leftover pad thai with extra chilli sauce. I've also learnt that I really do love where I live, and we all, many of us say this, but I just love it. I just love living in southeast Queensland, which is pretty lucky because I can't really go anywhere right now. My writing year. Well, I've published All at Sea this year. I think it's my 8th novel. It's the story of Stevie, who's a nurse, and Kaz, who's an eco-warrior. And Stevie escapes her very horrible parents, one of their very socialite parties, and she gets super drunk and she disappears off and she falls asleep on Kaz's yacht. And the next morning she wakes up to find herself in the middle of the Tasman Sea. Kaz is off on an environmental protest and she doesn't want to take Stevie back to shore. So for a few days, the two of them are stuck in the ocean. There's a cat Sinbad, he's at sea as well. But of course, it's a romance, so they find their way to each other. I've also had a couple of German translations of my books this year. One of the great things about working with Ilva Publishing is that they're German, and so every so often a book of yours will pop up in German, which is fantastic. The only German I know is Zwei Bier bitte, which apparently means two beers please. The rest of the year, well, I'm working on two novels at the moment. One is in editing, it's called Counting the Stars, and it's the story of Kit and Clancy, who both live in outback Queensland, and they're running a stargazing company together. They're getting it off the ground and sorting through it, and of course there's a bit of conflict because Clancy's a city girl and Kit wants to stay in the outback. I'm also on the first draft too of a novel set in Melbourne. The working title is Renovation. If anyone has a better title for that, well, I'm listening. That's still in the fairly early stages. My favourite lesfic book of the year, I don't know if it came out this year, but it's certainly my favourite for quite some time, and that is Burrage by Jill McKnight. It's a great fun read, and I really want fun right now, and I just laugh my way through it, and really, that's what I want. Travel, pretty limited, yes. If I could be anywhere, I would like to be in Colorado, actually. I used to live there, and for some reason, I'm missing those mountains right now. I've been looking at some photos and the space and the clear air and just missing it and loving it. And that brings me to my hope for the rest of 2020, because it would be fantastic if that administration over there changed. That would be absolutely wonderful. I also hope that the Rona becomes manageable. I don't think we can hope it goes away, but I think we can hope that it becomes containable and manageable, and that people stop dying in quite so many numbers. And on a personal note, for the rest of 2020, then I really hope that Astrid of Ilva Publishing just doesn't whop my ass too much when I send her my latest round of edits. Okay, that's me, Cheyenne Blue, and thank you very much, Claire, for inviting me along.
Hello, Lesfic fans. This is Giselle Fox. I write lesbian romance and adventurous stories of women loving women with lots of travel and steam, and I live on the west coast of Canada at the south end of Vancouver Island with my wife and my kid. A fun fact about me is that I played in a band for about 10 years. I played electric guitar and bass, and that was fun. So question two, 2020 has been quite a year. What have I learned so far? You know, most of what I've learned this year has been, I gained some new skills, definitely, a lot of them relating to having to fix things that broke down that I couldn't call somebody in to help me with. I rebuilt a fence, I fixed my fridge, I fixed my stove. Of course, I taught homeschool. I grew tons of vegetables, actual things I can eat. That made me really proud. I think, you know, the greatest lesson of all has been trying to stay grounded and positive while, you know, keeping prepared for the worst. And I really enjoyed the kind of insular time that I've had to spend with my kid, to be honest. Like, it's definitely impacted what I've been able to do in terms of writing and what my output has been this year, which relates to the next question, which is, how has my writing year been going so far and what have I published? I haven't published a single thing in 2020, actually. Writing definitely took a back burner once the schools closed. My kid's super active. He needs an education. My wife works epic long hours. So, you know, that whole role just sort of fell into my lap, which, you know, it's been fine. So I do, however, have some projects, and I have been, you know, kind of slowly chipping away at them a little bit by bit. I've got two standalone novels that I've been working on for about the last year that were kind of, you know, getting to a first draft stage at the beginning of this year. Of course, I've got the 10th installment of Claire and the Lady Billionaire, which I know a lot of people have been asking me about. I would really love to be able to finish them and release this year, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed about that. Favorite lesfic book of the year so far? Such a tricky question. I've read like a ton of really good books this year, lesfic and otherwise, but the book that I just finished was Thorn by Anna Burke, and I devoured it. I stayed up late the other night to finish it, actually, which is not something I've done in years. So, you know, I love remixes of fairy tales, and this is loosely based on Beauty and the Beast. the Huntress, aka the Beast, was the perfect kind of Ice Queen, and, you know, the kind that I get wobbly for. Rowan, or Beauty, she was strong and very brave and very capable and very cool. There was awesome tension between the characters. It was like a wonderful wintry landscape, great beasts, very recommended for sure. So where would I go if I could travel right now? Okay, here's the thing, right? Like, I live in BC. Summertime in BC is really when it shines here. You know, there's not a lot that could compel me to leave here in the summer. So if you were asking me this question in December, like when we get the usual deluge of rain and incessant gray skies, and, you know, we're talking rain that goes like in all directions. It comes up from the ground, it goes sideways, like, you know, it's even impossible to carry an umbrella because it's accompanied by wind, because of course we're right on the coast and the Pacific is just like, it's like crazy. So anyways, yeah, like if it was December and you were asking me where I would go, I would basically say anywhere sunny, warm, and beachy. You know, Costa Rica has been on my bucket list, so I'll say that. My hopes for the rest of 2020, definitely that we find a treatment and a vaccine for COVID, that we can get it out to the people for free. Peace, equality, justice, a decent human being in the White House to replace the big orange bag of dicks. And let's see, otherwise, you know, I'd love to finish the books I have on the go because I miss writing and I miss publishing and interacting with my readers. That gives me life. So yeah, that's it for my answers. Anyways, thank you, Claire, for having me on the show. And I wish you all a happy and healthy summer. Take care of yourselves and each other.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jay. I write romance novels between two women. Most of them are slow burn romances. I live in the southwestern corner of Germany, and a fun fact about me is that I have zero sense of orientation, which means I get lost really easily, even in places I've been to many times before. And what I've learned in 2020 is that you really shouldn't order 25 packages of cookies and then expect them to last the entire 3 months of self-isolation. But seriously, I've learned to be more grateful to live in a country with a really good healthcare system. My writing year has been affected by COVID a little. It took me about a month longer than I expected to finish my new novel. But then again, it was initially supposed to be a novella, not a novel, and that's also a part of why it took me longer. I haven't published a novel this year so far, but I've had a new short story in the Ilva Publishing anthology After Happily Ever After. And it's a mini sequel to my novel Under a Falling Star. What can you expect from me for the rest of the year? It is mostly a new novel titled Wrong Number, Right Woman. It's about a shy butch with love handles who falls in love with the supposedly straight woman who sends her an accidental text. And I'm hoping it will be out by the end of August. My favorite lesfic novel of the year so far has been If the Shoe Fits by AJ Noyes. If I could be anywhere right now, I would say I would meet up with my American friends at some nice place by the ocean, maybe in Croatia. My hopes for the rest of 2020 are that we will learn from everything that happened this year so far, including fighting racism and transphobia and appreciating teachers and healthcare workers more.
Hi everyone, my name is Wendy Hudson and I write romantic suspense books based here in beautiful Scotland, which is where I live. A fun fact about me, in case there happens to be any of you out there who don't know this by now, but I am a huge craft beer and whiskey fan, which is probably why there's never a bottle of single malt very far away in my books. So 2020 has been quite a year. What have I learned? I've probably learned how not to make bread when everyone was, you know, making their banana bread and their sourdough. I thought, I'll get on board, I'll try that. Turns out my yeast was approximately 2 years out of date and I basically just ended up with a brick. Seriously, folks, I mean, I could have killed someone with this bread. Like, I'm considering using it as a weapon in one of my books. In terms of writing this year, I took a bit of a break between the release of Meant to Be Me last year, but I have been working on something a little different recently. It's a romantic adventure. It's set on a remote Scottish island, and it's going to be published by Ilva in September 2021. Otherwise, my debut book, Four Steps, has just been released on audiobook, which is very exciting for me, as that was my first one. And it has a Scottish narrator, and she has done a wonderful job, I have to say. For the rest of the year, you're not going to get a lot from me, I'm afraid. I'm just going to be here plugging away at the new book in between the day job. I do have three other books out there, so, you know, if you haven't tried them, now is your chance to catch up before the new one comes out. My favourite book so far this year that I've read was definitely Be Objects in Motion by Kristin May. Oh my God, this book literally broke my heart. I actually messaged Kristin to tell her that, but she wasn't very sorry about it. I actually read the first one, Beyond the Break, last year. Honestly, had to take like 6 months before I could bring myself to read the next one. It's the same story, but told from each of the women's point of view in each book. And it's really amazing to get those two different perspectives, but over the course of an entire book. It's so beautifully written, honest and vivid, yet also utterly gut-wrenching. Don't expect the usual lesbian happy ending. Just a little disclaimer there. It might take a while, but I think you'll eventually make peace with how the books do end. So if I could be anywhere right now, where would it be? That's such a tough question. I think anyone who follows me on Instagram will see what a traveller I am, as well as lots of beer, obviously. I've been daydreaming recently of my last trip, which was to Vietnam, and I would go back there in a heartbeat. It's such a beautiful country. I've also been to Cuba a couple of times with my day job. I also really loved it there. And I'd really like one day to take my girlfriend there and kind of experience it all over again, particularly while it's not working. It's definitely one of my favourite places, so I think maybe right now I would be in Cuba. For the rest of 2020, I think my hopes are probably much the same as everyone else, to be honest. I'm just hoping my family and friends can, you know, get through this year safely and relatively unscathed with everything that's happening. And I just really hope I can actually see my family in the foreseeable future. In terms of writing, finishing the first draft is my priority right now. I need to get that done in the next few months, so maybe lockdown will help a little bit with that. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks, and thanks to Claire for having me on her show. Take care.
Hi, my name is KJ, and I live in Melbourne, Australia. I write women-loving women romance. My books are set in Melbourne, and while I try really hard not to make them sound Australian, apparently they are, so I hope readers don't mind too much. 2020 has been a dumpster fire of a year so far. As far as I'm concerned, it can stay in that bin and be fired into the sun. But what have I learned this year? 2020 has taught me that bushfires, pandemics, protests for justice, and the general inequity in the world brings out the worst in people, but mostly it brings out the best. People's generosity from all over the world for Australia's bushfire-ravaged animals and land was incredible, and that was just the start of the year. My writing year has been going pretty well. The self-isolation and all that has not helped my mental health at all, so writing anything uplifting has been tricky some days, which is a shame because that's kind of what my books are known for, optimistic and friendly. But I did publish Kickback in March, and I'll be publishing Art of Magic in August. I've also got a short story in an anthology coming out in October, which is beyond amazing because I was asked to be in it, rather than me bugging some poor editor. My favourite lesfic book? So many amazing lesfic books were published this year, and to choose one as my favourite is horrible, Claire. But I did read Chris Bryant, Melissa Braden, Claire Ashton, A.L. Brooks, Erin Zack, Lissa Gold, and you know, your podcast is not long enough because I write reviews for Rach on the Layerverse site as I believe in authors reading and reviewing other authors. And I've read a huge amount this year, which means I didn't answer your question. Excellent. If I could be anywhere, I'd be here. My wife and our son are in the house right now, and we're together and healthy and safe. And that's everything. My hopes for the rest of 2020. Well, It'd be nice to develop a vaccine for COVID. That'd be cool. For me, I'd like to keep on writing, throwing a couple of manuscripts together, whacking them up on Amazon, hope like anything they sell. But more than that, I hope that people find something in my novels. Maybe a little bit of that optimism.
Hi, I am Lisa Gold and I'm a romance writer. I live in Nottingham in the UK with my wife, our dogs El Comandante and Buddy, and our cats Boo Boo, Little Titty and Extra Sweet. That last one is a literal translation from Dutch, which is why it sounds a little weird. Besides writing, I love travelling, animals, all animals, cooking and singing. So if you like singing too, come and find me on Smule. So 2020 has been quite a year. What have I learned so far? I've learned lots of things. I've learned that I'm okay with my own company, that I need less than I thought I did. I've learned that we live in a nice neighbourhood, that our neighbours, who are mostly in their late 70s and 80s, are absolutely hilarious, and I can't wait to invite them over when it's safe to do so. I've also learned that I can do a lot of things myself, for example, that I'll never need a hairdresser ever again, and that will save me a lot of money in future. I've learned that leggings and sliders are my best friends, and who cares what you wear anyway, because people only see your top half on camera nowadays. I've learned that what's in the fridge won't change no matter how many times you open the door, and I've also learned that the news won't change no matter how many times you refresh the page. How has my writing been going? What have I published? So Western Shores came out in January, which is part 4 in the Compass series, and then I published Online by Madeline Taylor, her second erotic novella, and after that my 11th book, The Center of Rome, which is a standalone, came out just over a month ago. It's about an app developer who meets a high-end escort during a pitch in Rome. And it's a romance, and the sense of smell plays an important role in this book, as well as the topic of sexual harassment. The audiobook is currently being narrated by TJ Richards, who's an awesome narrator, so it won't be too long until that's out too. And so far the book has been doing well, and the reactions from readers have been great, so I'm very happy about that. What to expect for the rest of the year? Well, I've just finished a short scary story for a Halloween anthology. I've never written anything scary or paranormal before, so I said I'd, you know, give it a go and hope for the best, but I've actually really enjoyed it, so I might be writing more in the genre in future. I'm also writing the final part in the Compass series, which is book 5. I'm struggling with the title because so far the books have been titled Northern Lights, Southern Roots, Eastern Nights and Western Shores. So as you can imagine, that's a little hard. The book is set over Midsummer in Norway and there will be a wedding. So for now, my working title is Midsummer Vows. Now that I can't travel, I'm just writing about places I know well. And since I'm Norwegian, I know the country well. So far that works fine. I'm also 30,000 words into another work in progress that I work on in between, and this is another standalone novel. With this one, I thought I'd get around my inspiration problem, you know, due to the fact that I'm not traveling, by putting the MCs on a yacht in the middle of the Atlantic. But I guess I should have known that it's quite hard to write 100,000 words about 4 people on a boat. So it's going a little slow at the moment, but I think it's got great potential. So I plan on finishing and publishing that one too this year. Oh yes, I'm also publishing the 3rd Madeline Taylor, her erotic novel titled Masquerade, which will be out before Halloween. It's been a little bit delayed. The story's almost there, the cover's there, and it looks amazing. So excited about that. And then there are also plans for a potential collaboration between Madeline and another author. My favourite lesfic book of the year so far. I just read Finding Jessica Lambert by Claire Ashton, and I absolutely loved it. I think there's like a sweetness and richness about her writing that makes me smile, and I think she's a really, really good storyteller. Otherwise, I'm currently working my way through a whole batch of thrillers that I ordered because I want to write a thriller myself next year. So that's what I'll be reading for the rest of the year, I guess. I've got about 16 lying around, so. Travel is pretty limited right now. If I could be anywhere, where would I be? Well, I have a long list, and now that I've had too much time on my hands looking up places I want to go and visit, that list has tripled. I was supposed to be in Jordan 2 months ago and in New Mexico this month. And as I'd already been looking forward to those trips, I guess they're still on the top of my list. But I'd also love to be in Santorini right now. There's a town called Ia that I'd love to go and see, or I've been thinking about the Amazon rainforest a lot too, actually. So, so many places. What are my hopes for the rest of 2020? I think all we can hope for is a little bit of stability. I hope the rapidly growing awareness of inequality will lead to positive changes. I hope my wife, my family and friends will continue to stay healthy, and I hope that at the end of the year, maybe a little bit of normality will return. I also hope I'll be able to continue to write and find inspiration while staying home, and that maybe I'll finally get my ass out of this chair I've been glued to and start running that 5K. Yeah, that's it for me. I hope you're all staying safe and healthy, and Claire, thank you so much for having me.
So that's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. This is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to find out any more about any of my books, including the London Romance series, my 8 standalone novels, including Before You Say I Do, Nothing to Lose and You're My Kind, or my All I Want series of books, then look me up at www.clairelydon.co.uk. You can find all my books and loads more, blog posts and all sorts of goodies listed there, or go and sign up for my mailing list and get 2 free lesbian romances. Again, that's www.clairelydon.co.uk. I'm also available on all good bookstores, including Amazon, Kobo, Apple, Google, Bella Books, Ilva Publishing, and anywhere books are sold and streamed. Thanks so much to Denise at the Lesbian Lounge for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And join me next month when I will be interviewing Melissa Lennart, who has written a fantastic book called The Secret of You and Me. Speak to you then.